Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Luke, the first chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, first chapter, book of Luke. We'll start reading at verse number 13. It said, "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall be before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Let us pray. Father, again, thanking you for the word of God, thanking you for your goodness, kindness. Thank you for that precious soul that was saved this morning. Thank you, Father, for all the other things that you did in our hearts this morning, Lord, through the teaching in Sunday school, through the preaching, through children's churches. Oh, God, thank you that you've accomplished things this morning that we may not even know anything about. But thank you that you're the true, the living God. And tonight, Lord, it's another service. I need your power. I need your wisdom. Ask you, God, to help me, please, and to guide and direct this preacher and help our hearts be open to what you give me to say. Thank you now. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You notice at the ending of verse number 17, John the Baptist was sent to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I believe something. I believe it's a pastor's duty to do his best to try to prepare his people for the coming days, for special events that we have at this church. I basically can only do that through preaching of the Word of God. And I believe it's my responsibility to do that and try to stir our hearts and get us ready for things down the road. And tonight is what I want to do tonight is I want to get us ready for that week of meetings in the May, the 11th through the 17th of May. We're going to have a whole week of meetings. It's going to be a 30th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's going to be, I believe, a very important time in the life of this church. And I want to do everything that I can to try to help us prepare our hearts, get us ready for it, because I always believe there has to be preparation made. Now, I know that there's no one like John the Baptist. He prepared the way of the Lord. It was told us in the book of Isaiah that he was going to come. I know all of those things. But I do believe it is responsible for me to do my best to bring you to the place where we're supposed to be as we approach these meetings. And I believe that it's the people's responsibility to prepare, to get ready for what's coming, because I believe God wants to use it. We're only 3 months away, just a little over 3 months away. And it's coming on us fast. And we want to get ready. We want to get our lives ready. We've got a lot of work to do and all of those things. But I just want to touch bases with you a little bit tonight that'll help us, I believe, to get prepared. We must prepare for these things. And God would have us to do that, not just to, oh, hum, you know, it's coming, we'll get through it. No, we're going to look forward to what God is going to do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church as we honor him. And it takes preparation, takes preparation of our hearts and of our lives to get ready for that week. Each preaching service will have a special theme, and it's designated to highlight the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church over the past 30 years. And we believe that God is going to use it. I believe it's going to be a tremendous blessing to God's people. And above all, I want it to be an honor to him. We want his name honored above all things. But the way you come and get a blessing that week is you get your cup turned right side up. Now, if you turn it the other way, you won't get a blessing. But that's your determination. It's not mine. It's your determination. You walk in those doors, and with your cup upright up, you can get a blessing. And God can overflow your cup. And wonderful things can happen in your life and my life that day. Be a great time in the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I believe it's going to go down as that. A wonderful time, a blessed time for our people in a way that we can honor the Lord. There has to be a lot of preparation done. There has to be a lot of physical work done. We'll be asking you for your help, and there'll be many things done. And at the end, we'll tell you something that we want everybody to do, but I'll talk about that in just a little while. But we know that anything that's done for God, for the glory of the Lord, we know it takes work. It just takes work. That's all there is to it. And here's something that I want you to do. First of all, I want you to determine in your heart that you're going to be here. Now, that seems very simple, but listen to me. Don't schedule any vacations that week unless you schedule it so you can work here. Don't schedule a vacation that week. That's the week of May the 11th through the 17th. Figure on being right here in your place. Amen. And I'm just asking you to do this, that don't schedule anything that week that would cause you to be away from the church. This is going to be a wonderful week, great week, and we need you here. And you'll never receive the real blessings of the meetings unless you're here present. Say, Brother Ross, I'll get a tape. No, you miss so much on a tape. You need to be here in the presence, here with the brethren. I want to ask you this. I'm just saying these things to you. I know I don't know your situation, but I'm putting some things out there. If it's so, if you're working on a shift that hinders you from coming, trade shifts. Do whatever you can do. You've got 3 months to get ready for it. Trade shifts. Do everything you can to set it up where I'll be here on every single service. Amen. There's going to be 12 preaching services, counting our Sunday school. 3 each Sunday. That's 2 Sundays. We're going from the Sunday to Sunday. And the 3 each Sunday, and then, of course, 1 each. Actually, there'll be a little more than that. We're going to preach some of our young people, but they'll probably be about a 15-minute message, and then we'll have the keynote speaker. So I'm just simply saying to you, get prepared. Be ready. You see, and so trade shifts. Do whatever you have to do. Cut your days short. Don't work long days. Be here. That's 1 week. Pastor's asking you to do that. See, that's 1 week out of the year. Amen. I haven't ever asked you to do this before. No, I haven't. I've asked you to be here, but I've never asked you to go to this links to be sure that you are here for every single service, you see. Do everything possible to arrange your schedule so that you can be here. Determine you're going to be here for the glory of the Lord. Amen. Every single service. Amen. You know, some of you are going to look at me and say, Brother Austin, I'm just saying, do everything you can to be here. Every single service. Go out of your way to do that. Then also, let me say to you, it's going to be a long week. I understand that. It will be. We'll start Sunday morning, Sunday school, and we'll end it on Sunday night the next week from that Sunday. And it's going to be a long week, but I want you to do something. I want you to do something that you're not doing right now. I want you to put a smile on your face. I want you to get a smile on your face that week and smile, and even though you're tired, just be faithful. Just come with a determined heart that you're just going to give all. And you're going to smile, and you're going to be glad you're here. And if you aren't, no one will know it. Amen. They'll just look at you and see that smile, and they'll say, boy, he's glad he's here at these services. I'm just simply saying to you, prepare. Yes, it is going to be a long week. I know that, but think back. How often has this preacher asked you to take a whole week, Sunday to Sunday, and give your heart and life for just that week? It's been a long time since I've done that, and I'm just asking you please to do it. It's going to be an important service, I believe, for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. It's going to, at the end of that, I believe we're going to say thank God for what he did. Thank God for his goodness. And that's what we want. We want him thanked. In other words, I want you to do something else, and I want you to turn over to the book of Philippians, the second chapter of the book of Philippians. I'll just read chapter 2, verse number 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. I wrote down here, be ready that week to put others before yourself. That's what Christianity is all about anyway, is putting others first. And that's what he said in this portion of scripture. He said, having be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We ought to determine that certainly that week, we ought to do that all the time. That's not just for the 30th anniversary. But we ought to determine for sure that week we're going to have the same mind. We're going to be in one accord. We're going to be here for the same purpose. We want to see God honored and God glorified. And we want to put others ahead of ourselves. Amen. Yes, I want you to come. I want you to receive a blessing. I want every person in here to receive a blessing. I want that. I want that for you. But I want you also to be one. And you'll receive a blessing if you'll learn how to be a blessing. Amen. So come that week and just be prepared and ready. Get your heart ready. We'll talk about it in a few moments. But get your heart ready to be a blessing to others. Because that's where you really truly receive the blessings yourself. Not only that, I want you to be prepared and ready spiritually. This is very, very important. I want you to look at your life. I want to look at mine. I want to see if there's things in my life that would hinder the blessings of God being on Blessed Hope Baptist Church that week. I want to make sure that I cleanse my life. I mean cleanse it through the precious blood, to check it out, to examine it, as we talked about tonight here in the scriptures. Before we take the Lord's Supper, to examine our life and see what it is or what it might be that might be in our life that would be a hindrance to God Almighty working throughout this wonderful meeting that God's going to give us. It's very important that spiritually, yes, you ought to do that at all times. Every person ought to do that. You and I ought to check that out on a constant basis. And if there's things between us and God, it ought to be taken care of. Amen. But we ought to do that by confessing our sin and seeking forgiveness from God. Say, well, Brother Ross, confess my sin. What sin? I don't know, but you got them. And so do I. They're there, folks. So don't look so pious. Let's confess our sin and seek forgiveness from God and ask God to cleanse us and help us to be exactly what we ought to be. Now, I realize this ought to be done daily. I believe that's true. I believe that's what we ought to do every day of our lives, is get the sin forgiven and cleansed before God. I believe that. But we got to be a prepared people. If God's going to do something for us in the coming days, we need to be a prepared people. We need to spiritually have our lives cleansed. Secondly, another thing we need to do is we need to cleanse our relationships. I want you to listen to your preacher. Husband and wives, you ought to have, what you need to have, what you should have before God Almighty is a sweet, precious relationship. And if you don't have that, do something about it. Husbands, love your wife like the scripture tells you to love them. Because the Bible tells you to love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church. And basically it's saying as he gave himself up for the church. Husbands, give yourself up for your wives. And love them. Cleanse that relationship. If there's bad feelings between you, cleanse that relationship. I was so encouraged this last week. I got a call on the phone, and this lady said to me, Pastor Ross, I've been referred to you. Do you do marriage counseling? And I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I feel embarrassed. My husband feels embarrassed. But she said, we need counseling. We sat down together the other day, and he said, why don't we get some counseling? And she said, let's do it. And I was so encouraged, because you do not usually find that. You do not usually find someone wanting to get help. They just go on until disaster sets in. And so we set up a time. They asked me, say, how much do you charge? You know, they don't know. They thought so, honestly, they just thought that. And I said, well, here's my pay. I said, if we can save a marriage, that's my pay. I said, I've been pastoring for 33 years and I've never ever charged a dime for counseling. And I said, you do this. If your marriage will be saved and helped, that's my pay. I'd rather see that than anything else. Now, what I'm simply saying, husbands and wives, get your relationship sweet. When there's things between you, tear down those walls and come back together in a sweet, precious manner and love each other as the scripture has told you to love each other. You're one in Christ, and be that. You see, that's going to help your church. That's going to help your marriage. That's going to help the work of God. Amen? So I'm saying cleanse the relationships. Children, you get your relationships right with your parents. You make sure you love your parents as God has told you to. And you make sure that you obey your parents as God has told you to do. That's instructions from God Almighty. And you need to be sure if there's a problem in your relationship with your parents, you need that corrected, and you need it corrected today. You have no right, according to the Word of God, to not correct those relationships and be what you should be when it comes to obeying your parents and loving your parents and being and minding your parents when they tell you what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. You need that relationship strengthened and helped. Amen. You see, you need to cleanse the relationships. It's very, very important. Friends that you may have. It's important that you cleanse the relationship with your friends. If there's a problem between you and one of your friends, you need to cleanse that relationship. It's never right to hold grudges. It's never right to do wrong. It's right to do right. When you have friends that are you've got a grievance against and you walk that away and you continue to walk that away, that's not of God. Never has been, never will be. No, God wants you to cleanse your relationship with your friends. He wants you to cleanse your relationship with your neighbors. You got neighbors you're quarreling with, fighting over, you need to cleanse that relationship. You say, Brother Ross, but you're a Christian. You're different. You can't be like them. They may treat you terrible. They may do things that's not good. But you're different. So cleanse those relationships. Cleanse the relationships of church members. Church members sometimes for years will spend years hating each other, despising each other. Sometimes they'll go and never speak to each other. That is not of God. Mark it down. That is not of God. Never will be, never has been. Church members, if they are God's people, should get those relationships cleansed and taken care of. You should do it soon. You ought not to wait. You ought to do it tonight. You ought to take care of tonight if it's in your life tonight. You ought to take care of it tonight. God's people needs to have sweet relationships between them. There's going to be things that come up. The scriptures tell us that. There was two ladies there in the book of Acts that had problems, but he wanted them to get the things right and straightened out. I'm just simply saying to you, it's God's will for us to make sure we have good relationships between us. How can God send down the blessings of God, rend the heaven and come down when there's fighting and strife in the church? So I'm saying to you, cleanse those relationships. Get them right. Amen. Would not God have you to do that? I don't know what you're thinking. I have no idea what you're thinking. But if you're thinking about somebody right now that you've got a bad relationship, you ought to get it corrected. You ought to correct it. Amen? So God can bless us. Then also cleanse our attitudes. You know, attitude determines a lot of things. The attitude, the reason how we come to church and the way we come to church with the attitude that we come to church is going to make a difference in the services. It makes a difference in every service, the way you come in those doors and what you're determined to do and be as you come and be a part of this congregation. It's the attitude that I'm coming to be a blessing. I'm coming to receive a blessing. I want to be a blessing to the brethren in Christ. Not about me. It's about others. It's about Christ and His work. So we need to cleanse our attitudes. Amen? We need to get it right. You see, what we need to do is determine that we're going to be used of the Lord that week, that we're going to allow God to use us. And let me say to you, if you walk in those doors with a rotten attitude, you can't be used rightly of the Lord. It's impossible. And I'm asking you, please, to cleanse your attitudes. I want you also to remember to understand that the devil will cause havoc if he's allowed to. The devil didn't die. He's not dead. He's alive and well. He won't be for too long, but he is alive and well. And I want you to know he'll do everything he can to cause havoc in the church. He'll do everything he can to disrupt the services. He'll do everything he can to bring you into those doors with a bad attitude. He'll bring you into those doors with the idea, bless me if you can, instead of I'm being a blessing. Amen. Oh, you say, does people come? Oh, yeah, people come in those doors like that. Bless me if you can. I'm going to sit here and just see if you can bless me. That's the devil's work. That isn't God's work. Amen. I'm just asking you, please understand that the devil will do everything he can. Please just don't let him use you. We've got wonderful things that God wants to do. Don't let him use you. Amen. You know, as we look backward on the 30 years, and to some degree that's what we're going to do, we're going to look backward and thank God for all that he's done the past 30 years, but I want us to be prepared to look forward to the coming days. I don't want us to look at this 30 years and look back and say, boy, a lot of things went on at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with not a vision of what's going to go on in the future. You see, I think this ought to begin. I think this ought to begin the most productive years of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't think we ought to look back and say, boy, we did this and we did this, and boy, thank God for all of this, and say, well, what goes in the future? No, it ought to be the most productive years that we'll ever have for Christ. We need to ask God to do that for us. You know, it's good to look back and remember and thank God for all of those things, but we need to remember we're going forward. We're not going backwards. We're going to look to God and say, thank you, God, for what you're going to not only done in the past, but what you're going to do in the future. Because I believe with all of my heart that God has some many days ahead of us. If he should not come, he has many days for us here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do more than we've ever done before. I believe that ought to be our goal. Now I want to look at some of the things that I want to be sure that we accomplish that week. It can be, you can call them the goals of that week if you wish to, but the first thing that I want to do is I want to glorify the name of God. I want his name magnified. I want, when we come to a service, I want us to be thinking about how can we magnify the Lord? How can we glorify his name? How can we bring glory unto him? I think it should be said of us that we seek not our own glory, but his. I think it ought not to be said of us as it was of Herod, as he sat upon his throne and gave a great oratory, that he gave not God the glory. I don't want it to be after we've prepared and got that week behind us that we'll say we did not give God the glory. No, I want him to have the glory. I don't want to seek our own glory, as even as we look back and thank God for all he's done. We want to thank the Lord for it, but we don't want to steal one inch, one bit, one particle of glory from God. And we need to remember that. And if our hearts will remember that, all of us will remember that, we'll accomplish that. What we need to do is, like he says in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, the 21st verse, to him be the glory in the church. To him be the glory in the church. Keep that in our mind. Keep that in our hearts. It's to him we come here. We come here tonight to glorify him. Oh, yes, we want him lifted up. We want him honored. We're not pointing you to people. We're pointing you to God. And I want you always to look unto him. He's a blessed God, wonderful God, and we should never forget he alone should receive the glory. The Bible says in Revelation 4th chapter, 11th verse, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. He said, God, thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. He's the only one worthy. The Bible says in Revelation 5, the 12th verse, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is him. And so I say to you, the main thing that I want to do, the first goal I want to meet as we come to those years, that week, is that we will glorify God in all that we do, all that we say. All of it is going to be directed toward His glory. Secondly, I want that Jesus Christ would receive the preeminence. Let's go to Colossians, please. The first chapter of Colossians. First chapter, 14th verse. Says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I want above giving God the glory, I want Jesus Christ to receive preeminence. I want us to never forget that it's Him who shed His blood for our salvation. And without Him, we absolutely cannot, impossible for us to do anything. It's impossible. We can do nothing without Him. And let me put it this way, nothing right without Him. I'm saying to you, always lift up the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins. We must always do that in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we are. We must lift up His name and give Him the preeminence. I want us also to remember, and I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. And I want us to remember, look at verse number 18 of chapter 5. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice here that we need to give the Holy Spirit of God complete control of these meetings. You know, we are going to plan. We have to. Man must plan. Man must make plans and do what they can do. But we never want to plan the Holy Spirit out of the meeting. We don't want to organize Him out of the meeting. We must organize. We would have confusion if we did not do that. We must have things laid out. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do it this way. We're doing those things. But let me say to you, the Holy Spirit of God must have control of this meeting, or it won't go right. What I'm saying, God tells us not to quench the Holy Spirit of God. God tells us not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let me say unto you, we should never neglect the Holy Spirit of God. We must let Him direct the meetings in everything that is said, everything is done, everything that is accomplished. We must let the Holy Spirit guide us and direct us. Understand? We must give God the glory. We must give Jesus preeminence. We must give the Holy Spirit of God the control of the meeting. We must do that, you see. And then what will that do? Well, let me share with you, if we'll mind those things, it's going to do some things for us. I'm going to go back to the book of Colossians, please, if you will. I should have told you to keep your place there. But Colossians, the first chapter again. And I believe there's some things here that the Apostle Paul, as he prayed for the people at Colossae, he prayed for them, and basically there's seven things that he prayed for them about. I believe it'd be things that God would want to happen to us, to bring us closer unto Him and to make us more like Him. But in Colossians, the first chapter, verse number 9, he says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The very first thing that Paul prays for them is that they might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It is so important that we know the will of God in each of our lives. You and I need to know from day to day the will of God. We can know that. His Spirit will guide us and direct us. He's promised that in His Word. And the Apostle Paul here had prayed for them that we also and they also here would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. I told our Sunday school, I think it was this morning, sometimes we got to be very careful. We preachers have to be very careful when it comes to telling an individual what they ought to do. I can point to you scriptural principles. I can tell you scriptural principles. I can tell you what the Bible says, and this is what you should listen to. You should listen and always go according to the principles of the Bible. You should never go against them. Never, never, never. But let me say to you, I believe when I point those out to you, and also I'm going to tell you, get alone with God. You see, God wants His people to learn to get alone with Him and speak with Him and talk with Him and get the will of God for their life. Never going against the Bible, never going against the principles of the Word of God, never doing that, but get alone with God and learn how to listen to Him. See, He's promised to guide you. He's promised that. Now, you're not going to come in to Him in a backslidden condition, away from God, backslidden, and then say, "Oh, God, show me," because it probably won't happen because you're not listening right. Amen? And do it according to His Word, the Word of God, the Bible. Don't go against His principles. He tells us also in verse number 10, He says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord with all unto all pleasing." Notice He said, and He asked them at Colossians, "Listen, girls, I don't know what you're doing there, but I want it stopped. I want you to quit playing around. I want you to look up here, and I want you to listen. Understand?" Okay. He's saying to us that we might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He's saying, listen, walk with God, and walk worthy of God. Walk according to His Word. That was a prayer that Paul had said to about the Colossians. He wants them to walk worthy of God and pleasing to God. That's what we should want and desire to do. And then he goes on and says that being fruitful in every good work, we should want to be fruitful in every good work. There should be fruit out of our lives. He says also at the end of that, he says, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We should know more about God today than we did yesterday. We should learn about God. We should read His Word and study His Word and hear the teaching, hear the preaching, go home and apply it to our lives and know more about God than you did yesterday. Amen? That's what Paul was desirous for the people at Colossae, for them to grow and know more about God. And then he goes on and he says in verse number 11, he says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And I can just say to you, the only power, the only strength that truly you're going to have is the power of the Holy Spirit and God's power in your life. I want you to be filled with the power of God. I want you to be strengthened with God's power leading and guiding you and the power of God to get the work of God done. Amen. That's the kind of people we ought to be. And then in verse number 11 also, he says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He said the result of all of this will be that there will be patience and long-suffering and joy in your life. We need to be a patient people. We need to be a long-suffering people. We need to be a joyous people. You see, that was the will of Paul here. He asked God to help them to do that. And then, of course, in verse number 12, he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He simply says, be a people that always thanks God, thanks the Father for what He's done for us. Be a thankful people and a grateful people. Do you understand that what we need to do is we need to put ourselves in a position where we can get the blessings of God upon us individually and upon this church as a church? That we'll be more like Jesus and we'll want to walk with Him and serve Him and love Him because it is the last days. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't know how many days we got left, but I believe it's in the last days. And I believe Jesus is coming, and we need to be busy about doing what we're supposed to do. And mainly, out of all of that, what's the whole purpose of it? Well, what's he want us to do? Well, he wants us to bring more to Christ. He wants us to bring more to Christ. In all of this, building our scriptural lives and our spiritual lives, what he's trying to do is get us where we're ready to win souls and bring more to Christ. Not only that, to teach others and build and strengthen the ones that are already saved, mature them in the Lord, get them ready to be busy about the things of God. You see, that's what all of that is about, you see. I'm just simply saying to you folks, we need this coming week that we're going to have, we need to get ready ourselves, prepare our hearts for that week. We need to see many things done. And folks, it's going to take a determination on your part and upon my part to be what we should be for God and let him use us to his glory. Now, I'm going to call you to something. Pastor, on this day, February the 2nd, 2003, wants to proclaim a day that I call you to prayer. I believe with all of my heart that the whole secret of all of this is prayer. I want you to determine in your heart that you're going to turn your heart toward the Lord. I mean, as you go throughout your day, whatever you're doing, you begin to call to God and say, God, help us. Your blessings upon us. Help us, please. Help us to be what we should be. Help the preacher. Help all of those that's going to be involved in this. Help each other. Pray for your brethren. Pray on a constant basis. I don't care where you are, if you're in your car, if you're standing at the sink in your kitchen. I don't care where you are. Pray. I'm calling you to prayer to make special times in your family's life to pray. I'm asking you to do that. Will you get behind this in prayer? Amen. At our prayer meetings here, will you call out to God and ask God to do something special? Amen. That we need him and let him know we need him, and we do. There'll be nothing accomplished without him. And then pray that we'll be right with God ourselves. We'll get ourselves cleansed and ready to be a vessel used for the master's use. Amen. Will you answer the call of prayer? Will you say, okay, Brother Ross, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to ask God to do something. You may have individuals you'd like to pray for, you'd like to see happen during that time. I don't know about those things, but pray. Because I want you to know something. We need this week of meetings. We need it to stir our hearts and bring us where God wants us to be. No, we need it. And we want to be able at the end of it, look at it and say, oh God, we gave ourselves to you. You can't get by a meeting like that and go back and do it over again. It's too late. I'm just beseeching you, please, we've got 3 months, just a little over 3 months, please, please, think about the things that this preacher has said tonight and cleanse your spiritual lives, cleanse your relationships. Amen? You've got a while to do that, but you need to do it as soon as you can and get ready to be used of God. As I said, I believe it's going to be an exciting week. We're trying to do things that will cause us to have a great week in the Lord. And we want that for you. We want that especially for his glory. But I want you to have a great week. I want God to bless in an unusual way in your life. I really want that. And I believe it's going to be a week that we're just going to honor the Lord and look back on all the things that God has done, how good he's been, what he's still doing right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church after all these years, and what he's going to do in the future, down the road, as long as God gives us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your blessed Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, that you will direct, you will take over, Lord, these meetings and do them according to the will of God, that you'll be with every speaker, oh, Father, as they bring forth God's word. And Father, that you will give all of us, Lord, a desire, a burning in our heart to just be what we should be as we prepare for this coming time. And Father, as a preacher, I need to do everything I can to help prepare myself and also our people for this week. Help me to do that, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to just bless in an unusual way. And I pray tonight, Lord, there may be those tonight who just like to come to an altar and commit themselves to this and say, oh God, I certainly want to be a part of this. I want to do the will of God. I want wonderful things to happen for your glory. We want to give Jesus preeminence. We want the Holy Spirit to guide us. And oh God, that we'll be better people for you. And I thank you now and ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.